Okay, let me open the House Committee on Rural Communities, Land Use, and Water. And let me see how many people I can, make leave. I don't know if I'm crying or happy, but I'm just going to go through some things here. Is this all of them?
Yeah.
No, it's not exactly. Okay, so wild bird feed, House Bill 2401, we are not having a work session on today. We are not that far off, actually, from having an agreement to get somewhere with this, but there are bills in the Revenue Committee that already have relating clauses, so this work will continue in the Revenue Committee, not in this committee. So if you're here for wild bird seed, I would start visiting Revenue Committee members and stop monitoring this committee. So that's 2401. House Bill 2508, if you're here for that, we're not going to be working that bill today. The issue isn't necessarily going away, but this relating clause is so broad that I'm not comfortable sending it out of here to have it played with in other committees. And so still working on the Idaho Power pipeline issue in Morrow County, but not in this bill. The House Bill 3211 is going away. Similar problem, not that far off from an agreement, but the relating clause is pretty wide. So unless I could have moved it to the floor, I'm not willing to have it in another committee that could do with it what they want to. The expectation for me, at least, is that the Stafford issue in particular, that's got now some agreement where to start talking between Metro and Clackamas County, that is going to commence soon, and that myself and probably other members of this committee may participate and attend those meetings as well, because if we don't have some significant progress by the fall, I would expect a bill for the February session on House Bill 3211 and the Stafford issue in particular. In the main, we almost had enough movement to just validate all the urban reserves to get Wilsonville freed up from this morass, but not quite. 32—that's already off of here. And I think all the other ones, if you haven't been paying attention to revise agendas. It was the fact that I keep asking for things to go to rules, and Inman made it. He told me no. All the other ones, if you haven't been following the agenda updates, they're already off of here. So, for example, if you were here about 3221 only, which that's gone off the agenda now.
Oh.
Yeah, so there was one posted about you and Mr. Chandler. Are going to go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's a 12:10 p.m. agenda that took off several items as well.
3417 is still on.
3417 we're discussing. Apparently there was a meeting yesterday, and they think they have some sort of potential compromise. It would only go to rules to see if that's actually true or not. But we don't have permission even for that yet, so I'm waiting to hear from that. So let's just start on some of the ones while we're waiting on some more of these, but I'm just trying to let people off the hook if they can. 2666. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2666. This is the bill that you all heard about for the first time, I think, on Thursday. There is ongoing discussions, so this would be a motion to first adopt an amendment and then to move to rules without recommendation. Not do pass. Without recommendation. to continue conversations between the Farm Bureau and Aggregate there. Okay. So this is the, do we have paperwork on this?
We do.
On the Dash Force? Mm-hmm. Okay, so even though this is still without recommendations, I think the farm side would be a lot more comfortable if the bill got narrowed down even before going there. So the Dash Force will narrow it down, still not agreed to by the farm side, but it at least would narrow it down for the purposes of taking up the discussion in the rules.
Dash Force to which number?
Dash Force to House Bill 2666.
Thank you.
No recommendation. Yeah, ready.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2666, dated 4-21-15.
Vice Chair Post moves the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 266, dated 4-21-15. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 2666 as amended to the floor without recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 2666 as amended to, without recommendation, to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion was to the floor, then to rules. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
I probably said it wrong. No, to the floor with no recommendation that it be referred to Committee on Rules. Any discussion? That's much more fun than what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Bromberg.
Aye.
Representative McQueen.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hull.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Clum.
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to Committee on Rules. House Bill 3412. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3412. We've got the Dash 1 amendments. This amends the bill down to just basically a LIDAR study. Where is OFIC? Oh, Heath.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're okay with that one. Dash 1. Yeah.
Yes, Dash 1.
Okay. So Dash 1 amendments on House Bill 34-112.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 34-12, dated 4-15-15.
Vice Chair Post moves Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3412, dated 4-15-15. Any discussion? Any objection? So noted. One objection. Representative McLean.
Or
discussion.
Is this the Dash or the bill?
This is the Dash.
One. Never mind. Yeah. My fault. Yeah. Sorry.
So any objection to the Dash 1s? No objection. So adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3412 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee Joint Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 3412 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means. Discussion. Representative McLean.
Mr. Chair, I won't oppose it going to Ways and Means, but I don't think it's fully there yet. And meaning that I think we've had a lot of work in this area in previous bills from previous sessions, and I'm not satisfied that this bill actually doesn't undo some good work. So, but we'll pick that up in Ways and Means.
Any other discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Me too.
Okay, any other discussion?
No.
So it's a LIDAR study. You understand that, right?
Yeah. I'm a yes out of committee.
I got it. I understand now. Sorry, I was misunderstanding what you were saying. Okay, with that, would clerk please call the roll?
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Romberg.
Aye.
Representative Quinn.
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hull?
Aye.
Vice Chair Post?
Aye.
Chair Clum?
Aye. Motion passes and the bill sent to Ways and Means. Sorry, I was completely not hearing what you're talking, but so is 20
other
people.
No, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Not in this committee. All right, come on. All right, let's open House Bill 3457. I'll open a work session on House Bill 3457. There are some, there are no amendments to it. I think there probably need to be some amendments to it, personally, but I would like to continue the conversation over in revenue. This is Representative Widener's bill about income tax kind of credits for rural hiring. But one of the conversations, like Representative Gomberg and I had, we'd probably rather it actually started at one employee up to five versus starting at five and going above. So my hope is that I can convince the committee to support moving it over to revenue to continue those kinds of discussions there. And I don't have a strong feeling about no recommendation versus do pass, but if Representative Gomberg does, I'd be open to some discussion on that point. Well,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm certainly supportive of job creation and economic development in our rural communities. As written, I'm not comfortable with the do pass recommendation.
Okay. So I, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Couple little guys.
It may seem a bit odd that I would be opposing something like this. I have no problem with revenue taking another look at it. Very much favor job creation in rural Oregon, but I am uncomfortable with this bill in that it is so open-ended. I don't know what it is that we are buying and what the taxpayers will be investing in, and it makes me uncomfortable, but another committee's eyes on it will be helpful.
Okay, so I think a no recommendation would be still appreciated by the sponsor versus a death here, and yeah. I'd be comfortable with that if committee members can go along with it. I think those of us interested in the bill, though, can still go and mention some of these things, like the smaller employer size might be good and whatever other sideboards are, but I think the idea's got enough merit that...
Mr. Chair, if I really thought that the chair of the Revenue Committee would actually give any thought to whether we pass it without recommendation or do pass, I would be more strenuous in my argument. But frankly, let's just move the bill.
Yeah. With that, I'd take a no recommendation motion.
Chair Clem,
I move HB 3457 to the floor with no recommendation.
Vice Chair Helm moves and to revenue.
Referral to revenue.
Vice Chair Helm moves House Bill 3457 to the floor with no recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Julian.
Aye.
Representative Gomberg.
Aye.
Representative McClain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Helm? Aye.
Vice Chair Post?
Aye.
Chair Flynn?
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent over to revenue. Okay, that is okay, recreational trails. House Bill 3367. Let me open a work session on that. Colleagues, you may recall this is the one Representative Olson's bill about making it clear that going forward, it was kind of a gray area, was the testimony on both sides. Well, some people thought it wasn't gray area, some people thought it was. This would make it clear it's not a gray area anymore. Doing recreational trails on land zoned for EFU would require a conditional use permit. I did have some comments come in to me just today from Metro. They are kind of interested in this because they do trails. Typically what we seem to be hearing about was when farmers really didn't want trails built through there, they felt this was their outlet to put those concerns on the record. And Metro, in their case, only works with willing buyers. So might not be a big of an issue up there, but their council didn't have a chance to meet, I think, for another half an hour to even discuss it. So I am comfortable personally voting for it, and if there's some language, you know, around, you know, if there's some major barrier to being able to, even in willing party like the farmer wants it, and some outside neighbors are complaining about it, we could talk about that maybe in the Senate. But otherwise, I'm okay with it personally. There was opposition. There was opposition from the Oregon Parks Association about it. So that's this bill. Let's get a motion on the table.
Okay. Chair Clement, I move House Bill 3367 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 3367 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Vice Chair Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'll just say this. The requirement to do a conditional use approval, colleagues, is hardly an insurmountable task at the county level. And I'm aware of this instance and at least one other where the Parks and Recs Department, either the state or the local jurisdiction, have got ahead of themselves and created their problem for themselves by trying to bypass the local land use process than they would have had if they just would have gathered everybody together and got on the same page. So I think this is, it might be difficult for Metro to adapt a little bit, but I think they can handle it. They know how to do land use, and this is a reasonable request.
Any other discussion?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll just comment.
Representative Gomberg.
I appreciate those comments very much, and I understand the challenge we're trying to address here, the problem we're trying to address. I've got some parks going on, or some trails going on in my district that are making a real positive difference, and I'm just concerned about adding time or cost to the planning process. So I think I'm going to be a no on this one, but I anticipate it'll go to the floor, and we'll continue that conversation there.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gomberg.
No.
Representative McClain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor. We'll ask Representative Olson to carry it. Okay. We're going to come back to Mirror Pond here in a few minutes. I think we have 2 pages of testimony, so I have a feeling it's not going to be the 10 minutes that the folks thought it would be only, but that's fine. Let me get through. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3217. This is, wait one moment. Can you stand these for just a second? Are these? Okay, coming back out, had I opened the work session yet?
Yeah.
Okay, let me temporarily table the work session on House Bill 3217. We'll come back to that. And we need to buy a little time, so we're going to start our Mirror Pond hearing and open the hearing on House Bill 3283. And do we have Representative Bueller coming?
No? I'm sorry.
Does he want to?
Okay. Transcription here. Just 3282.
So, I've got a list, but if you gentlemen are first, I'll just find who you are and cross you off here.
All right. We're the first two on your
Don
list.
Don and Scott? Okay.
Yeah. Are you going to speak?
And Eric King?
Comment and discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got 2 waves.
Okay. All right.
All right. Chairman Clem and members of the committee, my name is Scott Wallace. I represent the Bend Park and Recreation District Board of Directors, and I'm joined by Don Horton, Executive Director. Mirror Pond is an iconic feature for our community and appears prominently on City of Bend letterhead, as well as one of the more popular craft brews that has been created from our area, Mirror Pond Pale Ale. This section of the Deschutes River has been heavily controlled through irrigation projects and diversions, dams, and will remain so as long as people inhabit the high desert region of Central Oregon. The pond was last dredged in 1984 and is now laden with sediment and silt, and prominent mudflats have developed along the margins of the channel. The community has looked at this particular project for upwards of 10 years, and nothing to date has really come to pass in terms of actions and activities to address Mirror Pond. So in 2013, the Bend Park and Rec Board, as well as the Bend City Council, adopted a resolution appointing an ad hoc committee to look into finding a solution for Mirror Pond. I knew. Based upon that input over the course of the last year and a half, we've developed a vision and a concept for the future of Mirror Pond, and that concept is the subject of House Bill 3283. And Representative Bueller can provide a little more background on that, and then Don Horton will provide and build on that as well. So.
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Clem, members of the committee. My name, for the record, is Representative Newt Bueller. I represent the good city of Bend, or at least two-thirds of it, and that's House District 54. I'm going to keep my comments brief because the people in this room and sitting next to me have really been the nidus of this idea from the beginning, and I have to say that I'm enormously proud of our community and the way they've rallied around to solve a very difficult, challenging problem, and that's concerning the Deschutes River and one and possibly even two impediments or dams on the river. In other communities, this has been enormously contentious and difficult, and in this community, we've rallied around hours of community meetings input to come up with a very innovative solution, a solution that will be removing major impediments on one of the West's iconic rivers, and that's no small feat. The Mirror Pond Project will restore the river to a more natural flow. It'll enhance wildlife habitat. It'll increase recreational opportunities, and it also represents, interestingly, opportunity for public, private economic development, improvement of parks, and new open spaces. The community's rallied around this vision, represented by unanimous decisions from Bend Park and Rec District. The Bend City Council, including Mayor Clinton, is supportive of the project. Deschutes County Commissioners are unanimous, and a growing number of local environmental business and community groups throughout Bend. And you'll see that in the materials we've submitted. And today, something very interesting and actually potentially a real game changer when it comes to this project. We're very happy to announce that Tumalo Irrigation District, which is a key component to this project, is also willing to consider removing a second dam, the Steidel Dam, on the Deschutes River, and take over possibly ownership of the Newport Dam and impediment, which is quite a development and lends enormous momentum to this whole vision. And you know, if it wasn't for people leaving behind their narrow agenda and understanding that an important transition point like this, it creates not only risk, but also many times in those transition points, opportunities. And the community around Bend has really grasped this opportunity to markedly change the Deschutes River from an outdated 100-year-old management system to one that's really consistent with our ideals and our community in the 21st century. So thank you very much for the opportunity to outline this vision, and I'll hand it over to my colleague, Don Horton.
Thank you, Chairman Clem and committee members. What I want to do is just kind of paint the picture about what this project is about, and then others will speak in a little bit more detail on the project. What you see here in this photo is a picture of Mirror Pond as it exists today. At the bottom of the picture is downtown Bend. So those of you that have been to Bend, you have seen Mirror Pond, had a chance to be in Drake Park, which is the park you see that runs along which is actually the eastern side on this map. It looks like the southern side of Mirror Pond. And the issue was that the pond has been silting in since 1984. And when our project first began, it was really a project that dealt with the sediment. What do we do with that sediment issue? We did an alternatives analysis where over 3,000 people in our community had a chance to respond to the plan. And we found that our community was really polarized between those that said, just take out the dam and let the river take a natural course, and those that said, Mirror Pond has been an icon in our community for over 100 years, and we need to find a way to save it. And I think the interesting thing is that Mirror Pond is so important to this community that everybody stayed at the table until we had a solution. Also, along Drake Park, the banks of the river are lined with rock walls that are 100 years old. Those rock walls are crumbling as well. So we need to deal with those. Pacific Corps, in the meantime, they own the dam. The dam got a hole in it, and when we were approached by Pacific Corps, they said, you know, this is probably time for us to divest in this facility. And so they came to us about acquiring the dam and the powerhouse to repurpose that. When we started looking at repurposing, we started looking at the banks of the river and said, well, what else needs to be done as a part of this project? That's when a public-private partnership really began to surface. And on the right-hand side of this picture, you see parking lots that are adjacent to the pond. You see some areas that need to be redeveloped. Pacific Corps is in the upper right-hand corner. So that is their power generation facility. And so this has really provided an opportunity for us to repurpose all that property. And this is the vision that the community came up with. So what this does is, on the environmental side, it recreates riparian habitat. It adds more public space. It's the continuation of the Deschutes River Trail. And probably most importantly, it really adds a public-private partnership where we can leverage private sector resources for the redevelopment of the area along the river. You can see in this graphic the blue buildings at the bottom is the opportunities for private sector redevelopment. And this here shows it a little bit more clearly. So this is really an opportunity, I think, that we have to bring in this public-private partnership to help us solve a community-wide issue. The community now is really in favor of it. After we went through this final stage of public meetings, we've had about 4,000 responses to this. And the results of that is now we have about 72% of the people that are in favor of this plan. 28% of the people still want more information, given we're at the 30,000-foot level with the creation of a plan. We think that some of that, those will also come in our direction. We did public outreach in two different ways. What you're seeing here was from a public survey. We also did the same thing at public meetings where we asked respondents to respond to these three questions. Both of them came out about 72% in favor and about 28% opposed. And so we really feel that we have a really strong plan that is based on an awful lot of public input and support for the vision going forward. So with that, I will turn it over to the City of Bend, and Eric King will lead off.
Mr. Chair, if I can ask
a question. Hold on just a second.
As long as I get Representative Buehler's approval, given the chairs out of the room, we've got Senator Telfler and a host of other people, I'm going to suggest that the committee recess and reconvene at a McCormick and Schmick nearby and have a mirror pond. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Mr. Chair.
Will you be buying?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Any questions before this panel departs? Thank you so much. Next up, Eric King, Sally Russi, and Victor Chudowski. Or did I call the right people anyway?
Yes.
Okay, good. Go right ahead when you're ready.
So, Chairman Clem, Vice Chair Helm, and Vice Chair Davis, committee members, I am Sally Russell, your Mayor Pro Tem for the City of Bend, and I'm here to reiterate the support of the Bend City Council and refer you to the letter dated April 20th that you should have before you from our Mayor Jim Clinton in support of House Bill 3283. There's a lot more that I could tell you about this project, but in the interest of time, I'd like to refer to Eric King, our city manager, and my colleague on council, Victor Chudowski. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Eric King, city manager of Bend. I think it's no secret that Bend is an attractive place in the state. It's the fastest growing city in the state. We are over 80,000 on our way to being 116,000 by the year 2028. We're working our way through an urban growth boundary remand process where Bend is at that, what I call a teenager stage of a city, really growing into ourselves. And our focus is how do we become a more urban city? We really, an urban city piece to the Cascades. And a big key to that is this vision for Muir Pond and opening up downtown redevelopment. This is not without some precedent. There has been other similar projects throughout the state of Oregon, notably in Oregon City with the Willamette Falls project, as well as South Waterfront and the partnership with OHSU. Both of those projects funded through lottery-backed bonds to help really create that special place of where the natural and built environments intersect. And this is where we need some help from the state to help us facilitate all the amount of work that has gone into that was just outlined here previously. And I think even more specifically for our downtown, for downtown Bend, we are a fairly small downtown for a city our size. Right now, our back is against the river. We look forward to this opportunity where we can open downtown up to the river and really, again, focus on creating housing, commercial space, see this as a huge opportunity for economic development in the city of Bend. And with that, I want to turn it over to Councillor Chudowski to further that statement.
Yes, thank you. If you look at the current situation, we have a downtown here. And
can I have you identify yourself?
I'm sorry, record, Victor Chudowski on the Bend City Council. We have the downtown, and then we have a wild scenic river, a river that's just beautiful with enormous potential, but yet the two of them are not really connected in any way. And the idea behind this project is to reconnect people to the river, and that will in itself will create a kind of economic catalyst for the redevelopment of downtown. And so it creates a very beautiful kind of pedestrian walkway, a way for people to really enjoy the river in a more natural state. And it's, again, it's environmentally responsible. It's going to create a lot of jobs, the redevelopment portion. It'll attract tourists. We're under a certain amount of pressure to create more multi-use types of housing or housing developments where we can have retail on the first floor, residential on the second and third floors. That would be right in the core of the downtown area, and that's a big plus for us. And also the recreational aspect, where we're finishing one kayak park up further from downtown, and now this will be a second recreational opportunity. And again, just think about all the economic benefits that that entails. And so we're just looking for some seed money to get this project off the ground, to create this kind of public-private partnership and have this move in the right direction for our city.
Thank you. Any questions?
Real quick.
Question at Post.
Thank you, Chair Helm. Got to get that credit when it's due. For anybody on this committee and maybe even in the others, I lived in Redmond, Oregon in the 1970s when the biggest deal in all of Central Oregon is when Bi-Mart went into Bend. So first of all, to hear you say urban makes me just kind of chuckle. I know you're leaning towards that. After 12 weeks now of sitting on this committee and hearing Metro versus X, Metro versus Y, are you sure you want to go urban? Not the wisest choice. I would stay rural if I were you. That's just my comment. It's not really a question, but I'm just telling you after 12 weeks of this, don't do it. And I'm serious.
Any other questions? I don't know if you have subsequent folks testifying on the financing mechanism, but if not, maybe one of you could explain that in a little more detail to us now.
Well, I think that some of the work to be done next is the feasibility and economic studies that will drill down into costs, the level of intensity needed for real estate development to help support the project. One of the things that was very important to this concept was that this would be self-funded. So we're looking at, we've done some preliminary work at models out there, such as a joint venture, or a creation of an urban renewal district to fund some of the infrastructure improvements. So that work has begun, and more to come. But part of the challenge with this whole vision is that with a pond, there's no one jurisdiction. This has been a partnership with Parks and Rec, with the city, with Pacific Power. We all need to come together, and we're needing support to help really continue that momentum to really drill down and answer some of those more detailed questions.
If I could just address Representative Post-Coven. Right now, we're going through our urban growth boundary process. We're looking at about another 40% increase in population by 2028. That 40% increase in population, our land area will probably increase by somewhere between 5 and 15% is the early estimate. So Bend is going through a process of urbanization. We have to find a way to comfortably accommodate this population growth, and that is going to be require a certain amount of higher density types of development, which is exactly what this is. We need this to accommodate more businesses and more people.
No, and actually, and I realize that. It's just, I'm very sad. Sure. I remember the good old days. But that's because I'm old now. Not as old as Representative Gilliam, though.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You very much.
Next up, can I invite Senator Telfer, Mike Hollern, and Bill McCormick? Welcome. Right ahead when you're ready, and please remember to identify yourself.
Well, thank you. Vice Chair Helm and Vice Chair, Post. Yeah, sorry, Bill. And members of the committee, I'm, for the record, my name is Chris Telfer. My current title is Oregon State Lottery Commissioner. I would like to say that I am not here speaking on behalf of a lottery. We realize that we make the money and you spend it. So I am here instead as part of the vast majority of people who voted in Oregon to establish the Oregon Lottery 30 years ago. And proud to say 30 years later, we're still going strong. But this project in 82-83 in Mirapon, that $5 million is the poster child for what the voters of Oregon said they wanted economic development dollars to be used for. This is a project that has very broad community support. It has very broad community impact, if not just regional impact. It will have various private public partnerships that will be healthy. It will open up the area to a lot of public use. It will create jobs, and it will enhance the Deschutes River as it flows through the middle of Bend. And so I haven't been able to say this for a couple of years, but so I'm going to use the opportunity now that House Bill 8283, good bill, should pass. Thank you for your time.
Vice Chair Helms, Vice Chair Post, gentlemen, I'm Bill McCormick, and thank you for the reference, Representative Gilliam, of McCormick and Schmicks, but I'm out of that. And full disclosure, I own a restaurant on that river now called the Pine Tavern.
Let's switch.
It's the only thing older than I am in Bend that still works. But but let me tell you, I did a lot of traveling over the years, and I saw the Riverwalk of San Antonio. I've seen the water and ice of Providence and the celebration they put on their river. The opportunities for a community to take advantage of its river and draw people and draw business and build excitement and synergy for that community is huge. As far as serving all of the people, I remember 1965, my first trip to Bend, and I asked, what are those kids doing over there? Well, they were all mill kids. Their moms and dads were working in the mill, and they would spend their summers with the flotation gear of an inner tube and peanut butter sandwiches and sunburns and blankets. And then you go there today, there's still kids of disadvantage using that facility. And you also look across the river, you see some lovely homes, but it's not about the homeowner there. It's about the whole community and the opportunities. The opportunities create jobs, opportunities create open mobility, opportunities for them. This particular case is going to create a new excitement for Bend that was somewhat diluted, frankly, when the Mill District opened. And this is a chance for us to get back on our feet and really develop downtown Bend what it should be. Thank you very much.
Vice Chair Helm and Vice Chair Post, members of the committee, my name is Mike Hollern. I won't reiterate all the things that have been said about the economic development value, of this particular project. I have had the good fortune to live on that river for 40, 45 years. I've been involved with almost every study and exercise involved with how do we fix the siltation and how do we deal with the sediment. And this this plan is the best one and the one that's most popularly supported by a vast majority of the people in Bend. I would certainly urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you all. Questions for our panel?
Thank you very much.
I have three folks left signed up to testify. Ned Dempsey, Jason Bowerman, and Tom Carlson. Oh, there's one more. So, Ron Faderspiel.
Representative Clem, in respect of your time, everything that I was going to say has been said.
Well, great. We need more like you. Thank you. Go right ahead, gentlemen, when you're ready.
Vice Chair Helm, Vice Chair Post, members of the committee. My name's Tom Carlson. I've been a citizen of Bend slightly less than 35 years. I represent over 200 citizens that formed a group to support this process and support the result of this process. It's a diverse group. Some people were born in Bend and have lived all of their 90 years. Some members of the committee of our group moved there in the last year or two. So it's a diverse group, but it shows the widespread support that this project has had for our community. I personally am a neighbor of downtown Bend. I live in a neighborhood right there, and I've watched downtown wax and wane personally, and I'm excited to see an opportunity to revitalize it, and I'm certain it will be better use of the spectacular riverfront we have for the public, and I'm sure it'll be a combination of parks, public meeting areas, and private development, and I would urge your support to help us do this project. Thank you.
Chairman Helm, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak on House Bill 3283. My name is Jason Bowerman. I'm a Bend Paddle Trail Alliance board member. We are a nonprofit recreation and river restoration advocacy group in Bend. As you guys know, Central Oregon is known nationwide for its scenic beauty, its sunny weather. We've got sports and recreation in large numbers and variety, which supports a very large number of the jobs in Central Oregon and also draws outdoor sector businesses and high quality recruits to the area, as well as over 2 million distinct visitors every summer, throughout the year, really. Voters in Bend support investment in our trails and have recently passed a bond measure to fund the completion of the Deschutes River Trail from Sun River to Tumalo State Park. The last remaining urban trail connection lies directly downstream of Mirror Pond at the blighted Newport Dam area site. Funding this project carries with it the opportunity to create the lasting connection in this iconic area in a very holistic way to convert unused and underdeveloped lands and aid in public access in this downtown urban heart of Bend, and also to catalyze economic development. Communities in Colorado, Idaho, and Nevada have implemented similar riverwalk type redevelopment projects, and the results have been astonishing. In Durango, Colorado, where a restored river now runs all the way through downtown, economic development is estimated at $19 million annually. In Steamboat Springs, where a similar project has been done in downtown Steamboat, it's credited with delivering over $4 million annually in economic benefit. A similar proposed project is also being implemented in Asheville, North Carolina, and so our sister city in the Appalachian Mountains is also sort of nipping at our heels for the credit of having the coolest downtown riverwalk. Rarely do we see opportunities for public investment which can so dramatically and impactfully make a difference. So I would please urge your support of this measure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman Clem and members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present today. My name is Ned Dempsey, and I'm a member of the Citizen Committee, or one of the citizens on the ad hoc committee that helped create the vision that is shown in this bill. And I'm also a civil engineer that's worked on several project economic development projects or big projects related to this, including Black Butte Ranch, South Waterfront, Montgomery Park, and several others in the area. And so I've had an experience in seeing projects that do create economic development. And this one meets all the criteria. It's unique in several aspects, and several people have mentioned it, but one is the expanding of the downtown. Our community is growing. We need to expand downtown to keep it vital and to keep it moving forward. This project does it. project also allows for more efficient use of the land than what we have today. It's more open space, there's more access to the river, and keep in mind, Bend and the river are Oregon's asset. They're not just Bend, so everybody gets more access. And the pond really is the heart or the icon of Bend. It's our Golden Gate Bridge, as has been mentioned. So the vision creates an opportunity to create better use of the land, use of the river, and economic development. So we're asking your support to pass this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Any questions for these gentlemen? Okay, thank you very much. That's the last of our panel. Okay, let me close the public hearing on House Bill 3283, and we'll come back to this in a minute. Let's go back to our other list now that I've got my full committee back. Okay, where are we off here? I'm going to come back to that in a second. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3222. Mr. Chandler, can you come up and tell us about what these dash 4 amendments are?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association. Presume we're talking about House Bill 3222, the dash 4 amendments thereto, correct?
Yeah, the dash 4.
We haven't resuscitated 3221?
No.
More's the pity. These dash 4 amendments do one basic thing. They add to the enforcement order authority of LCDC, which is in the statutes currently, language which would allow them to pursue enforcement order under certain circumstances against local governments who do not have clear and objective standards on their books. And this law already says that you have to have a clear and objective path for needed housing as well as a discretionary path. In earlier iterations of this bill, which we've talked about, I was under the mistaken assumption that jurisdictions actually had clear and objective paths available to which we could then tweak in other contexts. That turns out not to be the case, so this would allow the department to go after those jurisdictions under proper circumstances which do not have a clear and objective path or who have rules and regulations on their books that don't follow the clear and objective pattern as well. As far as I know, there's no opposition. It's a dang fine piece of public policy, if I do say so myself. Scoffing in the back, notwithstanding.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, any questions about these dash 4s for Mr. Chandler? Okay, great. Thanks. So, I'll take a motion.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendments.
Vice Chair Post moves the dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3222. Any objection or any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 3222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? See now, the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Dauber.
Aye.
Representative McClain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to the floor. Mr. Chandler, whose constituent are you?
Proud to say I'm Representative Gilliam's constituent, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gilliam will be the carrier of this bill.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Thanks for asking, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. House Bill, let me open a work session, House Bill 3431. Colleagues, the request here is this bill go without recommendation to rules. We're still working on getting maps of Clatsop County back so we understand where the development might be eligible for in Clatsop County, but we're very close. We just need a little more time, and I've gotten permission to send this over to rules to continue trying to get these transferable development opportunities in a form that they would be useful to the builder or to the developer. So No recommendation to rules is my request, and to give me a little more time on this one. Vice Chair Helm.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3431 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Vice Chair Helm moves House Bill 3431 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Discussion. Representative Gilliam.
Speaking on behalf of Representative McClain, is there another committee we could send this to?
I don't think so. Fine. And actually, I'd like to send it with a recommendation, but the amendments are still in such bad shape that I'll have all of Central Oregon running over here thinking they're still included in the bill, so I don't want to do that.
I appreciate your work on this, Mr. Chairman.
So, further discussion? Okay, any objection? Okay, we'll send that to rules. I always do it, but I don't have to, and now I'm trying to avoid an evening meeting, so I'm just going to try to get through the rest of these. Representative McClain's favorite bill, House Bill, let me open a work session on House Bill 2463. This is the Dash 1 amendment to the abandoned structures, and can you tell us, do you know what the Dash 1 amendment does?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 1 amendment would define marine debris, clarify that marine debris may be removed and disposed of with monies from the submerged land enhancement fund, and it adds a requirement for rules adopted by DSL to include procedures related to manner by which requested to department for use of money in the submerged land enhancement fund, and what they may be and may be made and evaluated by the department.
Okay, those are the Dash 1s. We can have a motion, then we can have a discussion.
Okay. Chair Clem, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments.
Vice Chair Post moves the Dash 1 amendments. Any discussion on those? Any objections? Okay. Seeing none, so adopted. And then the bill.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 2463 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 2463 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate your time to allow me to look at this bill and work with the Department of State Lands. I have some concerns on process and some of the procedures by which DSL would be exercising this authority. While I do think it's a service that is at times needed, certainly to removed abandoned structures and derelict structures, I just am concerned about the process by which how abandonment is determined and then their authority to follow up with a fine against the person that they allegedly can't find. So in that, I'll be a no.
Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gomberg.
Aye.
Representative McClain.
No.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to the floor. And
Mr. Chairman,
this bill is
Since Mr. Chandler at least vacations in my district, I'd be willing to carry this one.
Okay, Representative Gomberg. I'm gonna have to carry the next one because he's literally in my district right now. So whatever it is, I'll have to do it.
It's across the freeway from me.
Well, why don't I pick one that I want to carry? Okay, how about my bill? Let me open a work session on House Bill 2723. You've got the Dash 3 amendments. This is the urban agricultural zones. These Dash 3 amendments may have an issue that just got alerted to us today. It's not a fatal flaw, but we had a little bit of a discussion in committee about what would happen if some city or jurisdiction had a fair amount of these urban agricultural tax-free zones tax-deferred zones, and then they weren't then really available for development because they were in these contracts where they'd be urban ag zones. And some of the people worried about expansion of the UGB thought it would mean that they would lead to lands not being counted as buildable lands, and so therefore it would force UGB expansion. Those who like to develop, like Mr. Chandler, was worried that it would be the opposite and that there would be no expansion, and yet they're not buildable. The compromise was these dash threes that would say the city may consider whether or not these ought to be, there'd be consideration given to whether these things were going to be farmed for 20 years or only a few years to whether they should count. What we may have happened, though, is we may have accidentally merged those two. So it may be conflicting and say both that they won't count and that they may count, which would be a problem for implementation, because it would, the statute would say both things, that it can't be counted and that it might be counted depending on the discretion. I haven't confirmed. That's what Mr. Randy at DLCD says has happened. We were trying to figure this out. Given I am having a hard time getting approval to go to rules for things, my request would be that we can resolve that in the Senate. My preference is that we would resolve it the way we had the compromise language, which was that it could be considered to whether it would count, and not delay the bill in the Rules Committee when I have no idea when they could take it up just over that issue. The other item that I should say for the record is Farm Bureau was still interested in things like a sunset. That's still open for, I think, discussion with the advocates of the bill. And maybe Vice Chair Helm was interested in talking about like a total acreage cap. That's still,
I think we got agreement on that.
So that's still open for discussion. But that's these dash threes. And I at least am comfortable with those things that I just stated on the record moving forward with the bill. Of course I am, it's my bill, but yeah. And Representative Gilliams, I believe I talked him into signing on to this without him knowing what really we were getting into here.
I understood. But
yeah, so those are the dash threes, and I would take a motion on the dash threes, even if they have a conflict in them.
So should I add that? Chair Clem, even if
no,
they
probably
have
not.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash three amendments.
Vice Chair Post moves the dash three amendments. Is there any discussion? Representative McLean.
The dash three I did not read yet. Is Farm Bureau here? Do they have an opinion
on
dash
three?
Bring them
up if you like. And Mr. Chandler wrote them, so why don't you come up too in case we have any.
So, Chair Clem, Representative McLean, I think to address your question.
And your name.
Oh, yes, Katie Fast with the Farm Bureau. We are requesting a sunset. That is not in the dash threes. We are, though, comfortable for the bill to move to the Senate chamber where negotiations can be considered. Our feeling is, since this is a new program, I think we need to have a check back with the legislature to ensure that it is working as it is intended and it does not have unintended consequences with the legislation.
Which I think is a fair point. The length of the sunset is probably what we need to figure out, because these are five-year contracts, and so setting them at some point where you get through at least a round. But I think the concern would be, you know, another Willamette Week article about people abusing this somehow, and then it's just on the books and no chance to see how it works out. Yeah. Okay.
How's the home builders?
Yeah, how do the home builders feel about the dash threes?
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association. The dash threes were in, or are submittal to address the concern that we had regarding the treatment of urban farms in urban growth boundary context. And not to repeat what I already said, in an earlier hearing, if it's a use, it's a use. It ought to count as the same as any other use. And so the language in front of you would say that the city is supposed to take it into account or take into consideration, same as they would in the same series of the statute, power lines, easements, that sort of thing. So if it, so the city's to decide at a given time. We were not attempting to fix concerns with Farm Bureau or others, although I don't disagree with them necessarily.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on these dash threes? Any questions for Nui? Okay. Any objection to the dash threes? Seeing none, so adopted.
I move House Bill 2723 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 2723 to the as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no vote today because I think we just need some no votes. Because we just want to give the impression that there's more work to be done. My concern is a unanimous vote mm-hmm. would give the wrong impression. I do think the idea is good, but obviously there's lots of work more to do. I'll be a no vote, but I'm certainly not conveying to...
A courtesy no.
I'm a courtesy no. Certainly not conveying to you or Representative Gilliam I object to your fine work.
Vice Chair Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just so
maybe another courtesy now.
Be a courtesy yes, actually.
Oh, okay.
Just to clarify, you're correct that some of the work left to be done in the Senate is to put some sideboards on the amount of acreage. The proponents and I have talked about what the range might be. They are comfortable, I think, with a range of between 1 and 5 acres, maybe 1 and 6. That does far exceeds what it would take for me to be comfortable with this bill. So if we can make that a piece of the work through legislative history that goes to the Senate, I will be happy and I'll be a yes vote.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I take no umbrage from Representative McLean on his no light vote. I think your explanation, although it is seems odd, that it's may not unless you do, I think we can easily work that out with language over there. We may not have time now. And I certainly support the sunset as suggested by the Farm Bureau.
Farm Bureau. That leads to no light.
And I make yes.
Oh, great. Thank you. I would hope so, but yeah, I never know. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gompert.
Aye.
Representative
McClellan. No.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Klum.
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor. And I will carry it, given Mr. Chandler's here at the moment in my district. Now he has to leave my district. Okay, let me open a work session on House Bill 3282. This is the Dash 2 amendments. And colleagues, you may recall kind of a long time ago we had a discussion about Eric, why don't you come up, about the UGB process. There's two now. There's the new one we created that hasn't really gotten started yet, and there's the old one. And this bill was about trying to get some sequencing of the different work that had to be done. So once you got one approved, you knew you were sort of in a safe harbor for the next one. There's been a lot of discussions, and we have these Dash 2 amendments. Can you tell us what they do?
Sure. Chair Klum, members of the committee, for the record, Eric Kanzler representing the city of Bend. As far as land use matters go, the Dash 2 is pretty simple. If a city has its UGB amendment remanded back to it, this amendment would allow it to go and would clearly, explicitly allow that city to process its remand, or in essence take a second crack at getting the UGB right through a process called periodic review that's administered by DLCD and would allow for sequential approval. So you could do your assessment of needs prior to figuring out how to accommodate your needs, either through changing zoning within an existing UGB or expanding the UGB. So it's really at some level it's technical, because the agency would tell you they can already do this. And from our reading, that's probably true, but that's not something that's explicitly allowed in statute. Given all the difficulties that cities have had with urban growth boundary expansions, and we've worked extensively with DLCD and Thousand Friends in trying to come to an agreement, which I won't speak for them, but all I believe we're there. This would give us that clarity and that certainty that after we've been through a whole process and we've been remanded and it's been years and millions of dollars, we can simply go and address the remaining components in a sequential fashion through periodic review. So we see it as a very valuable opportunity.
Okay. Any questions about these Dash 2s? Okay, great. take a motion.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments.
Vice Chair Helm moves the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill, 3282. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so adopted. Any motions that are floating around there right now? You got one for me?
Oh. Chair Clem, I move to I move HB 3282 as amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Helm moves House Bill 3282 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gomberg.
Aye.
Representative Quain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair
Clem. Aye. Motion passes. The bill sent to the floor. I think this is Representative Bueller's bill as well, so we'll ask him to carry it.
Thanks.
And then back to, we're still waiting on seeing if we can get a fiscal on 3217. House paving. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3214. And Mr. Honeycutt, can you come up and explain to us? And if you want, Mr. Rendy, yeah, and Mr. Rendy, what you two nice gentlemen have worked out here. This is the Dash 6 Amendment. Cogs, you may recall, this was the issue that had to do with a piece of land in particular in Clackamas County, but it was somebody who was on a piece of exception land. And the question was whether you really needed to take an exception to farm and forest use goals if it hadn't been on farm and forest use ever, and you're just changing from one to the other. We think we've worked out an elegant solution here, so why don't you tell us about this? Dash 6.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation Development, and what we have mostly worked on is trying to find language that reflects the situation, the exact situation, and that's what we think the Dash 6s do. The original bill had been far more broad than that, and so we're in agreement that the right solution for this is for an LCDC consideration of changing its rules. This is something that, in our opinion, probably needs, this is a rule that has a very, very long history and does need updating. And so we've agreed from the start that this is a rule we think LCDC should take a look at and may amend. And we simply tried to find language to reflect that, and I think that's what the Dash 6 is too.
Mr.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action. Mr. Rendy and I worked on this bill, and as reflected by the number of amendments that went back and forth, but I think we finally got it right. And the bill would call for the commission to adopt rules that address the exceptions, the built and committed exceptions process, and in a way that will resolve, or at least we hope will resolve, the house paving situation in Clackamas County. So with these amendments, the bill is substantially narrowed. It does address that particular, or hopefully the rules will address that particular case, and I hope the committee will adopt the Dash 6s and move the bill along.
Any questions for the gentleman? Great, thank you. I would take a motion.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments.
Vice Chair Helm, Vice Chair Post moves the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 3214. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3214 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 3214 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gomberg.
Aye.
Representative McClain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair
Clark. Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to the floor, and I will carry this one as well. And let me just check. We're still waiting on a fiscal for 3217, the Beaver Dams. And then let me just recess for a moment. Before I do that, I just want to thank all the Mirror Pond folks for your testimony. I'm sorry I had to step out and find out some questions on these other bills, but wanted to thank, there she is, my former colleague, Senator Telfer, here. And now, I've got a title of Ambassador Bill McCormick. Is that the right actual title?
He left, yeah.
Oh, dang it. Well, that's
Ambassador to New Zealand.
To New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so I'm going to stand in recess for a moment because I need to go see what Representative Davis wants out in the hall. We're waiting for paperwork. And then since we only heard about Mirror Pond, if there's anybody that wants to talk amongst yourselves about it, but otherwise we can do that right as soon as we come back.
You're in the lobby.
Yeah. So, recess, please. People can go home.
Beer in the lobby.
Coming back out of recess and do pass. Opening a work session on House Bill 3283.
She owns it now.
And we've got no amendments as far as we know, so pretty straightforward.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Post moves House Bill 3283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative
Gilbert. Aye.
Representative
McClain.
Aye. Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Helm.
Aye.
Vice Chair Post?
Aye.
Chair Clem?
Aye. Motion passes. The bill sent to Ways and Means. Okay, let's just review, besides the fiscal on House Bill
3217.
Okay. Not moving forward, let's just go over this. House Bill 3474, the Trust Lands Transfer Commission. House Bill 3417, the Regional Solutions Timelines, though we do understand that there was a great meeting yesterday and that the governor's office believes through, I think it's rule, we could get an agreement crafted that would get some additional notification for the parties interested in participating in these regional advisory committees. So that bill's not moving forward. Birdseed tax can be taken up in revenue in a different vehicle. We're pretty close to getting some support for the sage-grouse recovery plan funded by this, but we're not quite there yet, we don't think. But we're pretty close, but we're not going to do it in this bill. So we'll find another bill. 2666, we sent two rules. No recommendation. That's the Farm Bureau Aggregate OCAPA Work Group. 34112 we passed. 3457 we sent to revenue. 3367 we passed. 2508 dies. 3283 just passed. 3211, much to my friend back there, is dying. But it may come back to life in another bill somewhere else this session. I wouldn't give up on him yet, Mr. Jillians. 3217, we're waiting on LFO. 3222, we passed. 3431, we moved to rules. 2463, we passed. 3282, we just passed. 2723, we passed with a courtesy no. And 3214, we passed. So what I think we should do is recess for another moment. I'm going to go stand at LFO's desk.
What are we waiting on
here?
A fiscal on the Beaver Dam bill.
Thank you. I just sent him an email.
Coming back out of recess, let me open a work session on House Bill 3217. We got the fiscal back from Department of Forestry, State Lands, Fish and Wildlife, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and Water Resources Departments, determined to have a minimal expenditure impact on state or local government. So we can, we don't need any rule suspension. We can move the bill. What happened to? Sorry, just lost him for a second. I would take a motion on 3217-2 amendments.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 3217, dated 4/20/2015.
Vice Chair Helm moves the House Bill dash two amendments to 3217. The dash two amendments are the result of some discussions between Water Watch and the proponents of the bill. They, as you may have seen in your record, they do not get Water Watch to neutral, but they are helpful compared to the dash ones anyway. Does anybody want an explanation of the dash twos, or are you more interested in just getting out of here at this point? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, any further discussion on the dash twos? They deal with things like clarifying that this bill doesn't impact existing water rights law, maybe some additional language about fish passage. I forget what else is in there, but anyway, okay. Any objections to the dash twos?
To ways and means.
Okay, seeing none, so adopted. And then,
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3217 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
No, it's to just to the floor.
Just to the floor. Sorry. Yeah.
Structural and child.
The Vice Chair Helm moves the dash. No, wait. She's House Bill 3217 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Vice Chair Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no on this one. I appreciate the effort that went in to trying to improve fish passage and dams. My fear is that these dams will essentially become permanent dams. They won't really function as beaver dams, and that fish passage, when we eventually get it back, which I hope we do, will not necessarily be the same as if we had real beaver dams in place.
Beavers.
I think if we're really trying to mimic a beaver dam ecosystem, then that's what we should be headed for in the beginning. Let them if they get flooded out, let them operate that way. So that just didn't go far enough for me.
Any further discussion? Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to indicate I share the co-chair's concerns. I'll be a no vote as well.
The we actually literally just got, I don't know if he's here, though. I just got an email like 3 minutes ago. Brett, do you want to talk about this at all? Why don't you come on up from ODF&W? Yeah, I know.
Chair Clem and members of the committee, Brett Brownscombe, Acting Deputy Director with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So on this bill, I think we are supportive of the restoration, habitat restoration motivations. There has been an ongoing conversation over how to address concerns related to fish passage, ideally not in a way that does not even get into the exemption from statute conversation by talking about areas of the landscape and doing projects such as those proposed in this bill in areas of the landscape that were either that are not current migratory fish habitat or that are not historically migratory fish habitat, of which there are areas, a good number of areas across the landscape that fit that criteria, and piloting the efforts there, which would take the concerns over this bill out of any need for a fish passage exemption. To the extent that's not, and what we've heard is that's that kind of approach would not support the purposes of the proponents of the bill. So we've tried to talk about other ways to, and have had some suggestions on other ways to address things like the restoration, habitat restoration design of the artificial beaver dams and how the bill defines those structures in a way that's consistent with current habitat restoration practices, as well as when discussing the height and the size of these structures and their relative permanence or impermanence so that they mimic natural beaver dams, we've had some suggestions on ways to potentially address that. And so in reviewing the Dash 2 amendments and conferring with staff, it doesn't appear the Dash 2 amendments address those issues. That said, we understand that the bill is motivated by restoring habitat in areas that have legitimate concerns over past habitat impacts. And so you have incised streams. There's nothing that's going to restore those streams without some kind of change in the water table, and we understand that's the motivation of the bill. It's more the how do we get there that is of remaining concern to the department or from the habitat end. Not whether we want to get there, but the how. And so that said, pardon me, Chair, wherever it may be, we want to stay engaged in this conversation over what do we do to restore some of these areas of habitat that have been incised, and that it will take something like a beaver dam, be it real or artificial, to restore water tables. It's not that we want to not have this conversation or not be working on something to that extent. It's just that statutory definitions on the how that we get there is something that we would like to further discuss.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure we got it on the record because we, I don't think we knew about this. So, colleagues, we've got two objections. This is the, I'm trying to think of what the group is. This is the bill that we have a strange situation where some environmental groups support it, some don't. And I think we are open to ongoing conversations about it. The question is, move it to the Senate or go to rules for those conversations. And yep, Vice Chair McClain.
Chair, I'd recommend let's get it to the Senate. I think this is a good bill. There's been a lot of thought in it, a lot of work. They've got examples that have worked. Fear about what could happen as a way to get in the way of what actually will produce good. It's just not a sort of a principle that I think we should give way to. Ultimately, I'm very confident ODFW, and for those who actually try to restore watersheds through this method, if it turns out that there are problems with it, it's not like we can't undo it. I mean, but for goodness sakes, there were so many good ideas to try to increase water supplies as well as restore watersheds that we haven't tried and need to try, and it's time to not let perfection be the enemy of the good, and let's move this bill. I'd like to see the Senate move it, and let's get out there and either approve this up or find another idea.
And just to be clear, the department already has authority for fish passage waiver if they want to do it. Our intent was trying to put some sideboards around when it would be used, and I think it was the natural resource office director that thought it would be a good idea to bring it to the legislature rather than just have the department sort of figure it out and then not have any blessing from the legislature one way or the other to just, you know, come up with a program. So I think that's what we're trying to do here, is rather than ask the department to just use it and do it, we're trying to figure out under what conditions and what do you do once fish are back, and then you do have to worry about fish passage, whereas right now there's no fish in there, so it's not, it's non-concern, but it would be if it worked. So I think those are the kind of conversations we need to continue to have going forward. But we're out of time for today. So, and I think they're going to take the room from us here pretty quick, too. So with that, where are we at on the amendment? We've already adopted the amendment?
Yes.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any further discussion? Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I know we're very short on time, so I'll be very brief. Has anybody asked the beavers whether they like this?
I think there's a few of them that are starting to show up on top of the artificial ones, thinking about taking them over. So
as
far as I can tell,
them.
I will.
You will speak for the beavers.
Well, you have another former student body president from OSU down there. He may want
He's
equal claim to it.
Yeah. What if we build
against the fake beaver? I want real beavers.
Okay, with that, any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Dahlberg.
Nay.
Representative McClain.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill.
No.
Vice Chair Post.
Aye.
Chair Post.
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor. And it's a committee bill.
Helm. He made the motion.
Yeah, exactly. It's a committee bill. Whose district?
This is Bent's district, but why don't you do it? I mean,
It
wouldn't kill me if I did, but I think you could do it.
It's fine. And, okay, anybody here on anything else that you're waiting for answers to? Oh, wait a minute. Let me make a comment. I had pulled House Bill 2674 off the agenda early. That's why it's not on here. I just did want to make a comment on it. This was the bills that we had regarding zones for conflicts around genetically modified crops, and there is ongoing interest, I would say, in trying to figure out some sort of zone proposal. This bill didn't have a relating clause that could go beyond things like genetically modified crops to things like canola that wasn't genetically modified, for example, or hemp and marijuana, if that really ends up being a big problem that people seem to think it is. So I decided not to keep this bill alive, given it was only related to genetically modified, but I think there will be an ongoing effort this session to figure out if there is some kind of tool that the Department of Ag may need when you have crops that are in conflict with each other. But this one was just a little too narrow for me to feel comfortable keeping alive. The contents of the bill as they started were not where our work group ended up even talking about. We were down to a different kind of, instead of the Department of Ag shall make one, it was if they're convinced after attempts at mediation failed, they may. But I just didn't want to try and do it in this bill because it would be too narrow to leave it at just GE versus GE plus other items. Anything anybody else is waiting here to hear on? I just don't want to forget anything because this is it. Okay. Not at all?
I think so. Just one moment.
Okay. With that, we will adjourn the House Rural Communities Land Use and Water Committee. Yeah. Communities Land Use and Water Committee.